Hey everyone, this is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our early July podcast, episode 136, Putting on the Ritz. Maybe I should say wowsy. Hey, and we got a ritzy looking digital audience here today. Thank you, everybody. Hey, you know, putting on a Ritz is an American expression about dressing fashionably, super fashionably. And of course, it's associated in the old days with the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain. Upscale. Man, you're just all dolled up. And we're going to start talking about two football conferences that are ritzy, upscaled. Man, they're putting on the Ritz. And that's the SEC and the Big Ten. And it involves our school, my alma mater, the University of Notre Dame. What are they going to do? Are they going to stay independent? Or are they going to go to the party with all the other good-looking boys? We're talking about millions are involved, millions, upscale as it can be. We'll be right back and start the show. But we got plenty more besides Notre Dame football. Oh, my. We'll have our regular crab stock. Hey, and we'll also have, oh my goodness, pizza. The cost of pizza in Las Vegas. Oh, that's important. And you know why? Because so many people eat pizza everywhere. Every little town has two or three pizza shops. Go to Vegas. Woo, you can't get away from them. They're everywhere. And of course, July 6th was National Fried Chicken Day, and Jane's going to tell you where you can go to have the best fried chicken in Vegas. Oh, yeah. You know, families have recipes. Goes back to great-grandma, right? Her secret Sunday fried chicken recipe. Well, I'm pretty much a Colonel Sanders or Popeye chicken kind of guy. So maybe I better check out, listen carefully when Janie's talking about where to get fried chicken when we're in Vegas come this October. Okay, we will really be right back after this very short break. Man, this garage band has the music you can really get up and dance to, man. You just want to move sometimes what we're putting on here. All right. But what's the problem in South Bend, Indiana? We have enjoyed a status in football called independent, and we never really belonged, maybe for a short period of time because of World War II or something, but we never really belonged, or the COVID pandemic, to a football conference. However, we get a NBC television contract for $15 million. Sounds like a lot of money. But we could be making $90 million with Big Ten football if we would go to the Big Ten. And yes, indeed, they want us to go. They have spoken to Notre Dame. And the ball, football maybe, is in Notre Dame's side of the field. Yeah, they got to make a decision. So I've been listening to the podcasts of all these sports gurus from South Bend and everywhere else. And I'm going to just make it simple. Always Irish is a podcast I want you to check out. I'm going to play his view on this. Always Irish. The podcaster, almost every episode, is on the verge of a heart attack. He screams and yells. He's kind of scary that way because you worry about him. But anyway, he calmed down for this one. So let's go to the Always Irish podcast, which you can find on YouTube.
And I love independence. I love that unique feature about Notre Dame. It's a big part of who we are for a lot of Notre Dame fans. I love it. At what point do you get bumped up against this where you have to choose between your old traditions and choosing the old traditions guarantees you're not going to make any new ones? That's where I think this all comes to add for Notre Dame people, Notre Dame fans, the administration. That's the big philosophical existential Notre Dame question here. Where is that tipping point? And I love independence. I love that unique feature about Notre Dame.
Whoa, he put it so well. So I'm going to give you my view, and of course my view is the correct view. No, I'm going to give you my best view. I've seen so many Big Ten opponents in my years watching Notre Dame football in the stadium, from Michigan State to Michigan, over and over again, guys. I mean, we have gone against the Big Ten up and down. Ohio State, we open up with this year. We've played them in the past. They've had a little bit of an edge on us, and it's going to be one hell of a tough one this year. But let's talk about what the Irish should do. And you want to put on the Ritz? Well, they already have. They're already putting on a Ritz. But now we can really go sensationally higher, financially, upscale, which that money can be used for the general cost of going to Notre Dame by offering more scholarships. And that's a sincere thing. The Irish have a great endowment program, but they need to have more money available for students to go there at less cost, as so many other universities are in the same situation. And a $90 million contract would be very helpful. You know, as a Notre Dame graduate, I have always been proud of our independent status in football. Now, however, college football has forever changed. As I mentioned, the Irish earned $15 million last season from their NBC television contract. It's really cool, you know, to be able to see all the home games on television. Yet with the Big Ten and the SEC expansions, $15 million doesn't make it. The Irish can make 50, 60, 70, 80, now they're saying $90 million or more from the Fox Sports exclusive TV rights to Big Ten football. As USC, the University of Southern California, and UCLA have joined the Big Ten, we can still play a national schedule. Let's be honest, ESPN and Fox Sports have changed by the power of the almighty dollar. By putting on the Ritz, they've changed college football forever. And, you know, our good friend Jimmy the Greek often said, never fight a streak, baby. It's time to join the parade. Get into it, a national conference, and which, thanks to Fox Sports, the Big Ten has become. So we have two super conferences in this country, and that's where the national championships are going to come from. That's the SEC and the Big Ten. Stay out of it. Do you watch from the sidelines? Coach Fav says no. It's time to join a conference. It brings a tear to my eye, a tear of sadness, but on the other eye, a tear of joy, because the best is yet to come. Marcus Freeman, what a great young coach. He's out recruiting Alabama. He's out recruiting Ohio State. The future looks very bright. Let's get in the conference and kick some ass. All right. We'll be right back for our talk about craps. Oh, my.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, well, welcome again to Craps Talk, and today's topic is to win big on come-out roles, and that could be involving bubble craps, cylinder craps, or live craps at a craps table. Take your pick. The only advantage I see, you know, you can't set dice, obviously. Tell me how you do it on a bubble craps or a cylinder craps machine. However, you can play for a lot less money, and that's the advantage there, and you can play by yourself without a hassle from the people around you or the dealers. Okay, but let's start with this. Never forget, there are 36 ways the dice can roll, and those rolls would create numbers from 2 to 12. Six of those ways are sevens. So there's more ways to make a seven. There's six ways to make a seven. There's more ways than any other number, and never forget that. And so my strategy for decades has been based on my relationship with the sevens, right? And the come-out roll, whether you know craps or not, that's the first roll in a craps game. And if you have money on the pass line, there's two lines, the pass line or the dome pass line. The pass line pays even money on a seven or 11. And by the way, that's one of the best bets you can find in a casino. There's better ones in craps, but that's one of the best ones to be able to win on a seven. There's also other bets called lay bets where you win on a seven. Need to learn about those. There's also hop the sevens, and you can make that from the dome pass, which is something I do quite often. So generally, I bet $15 pass line and $6 on three-way craps. And three-way craps would be the 2 to 3 to 12. And so I can't lose on the come out, because three things are going to happen. It's going to be a 7 or 11, and I'll win $15 minus the $6 I lost on three-way craps, or I'll win three-way craps and lose $15. Well, three-way craps will be $2 on 15-1. That's the three. Or minus $15 on 30-1. That's the two, and that's the 12. The other thing that could happen is a point number could be established. And the point numbers are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. So I'm just very relaxed on the come-out roll when I'm on the pass line betting 15-6. That 6 is on the three-way because I can't lose. Generally, something good's going to happen. Either I'm going to win $9 on the pass line because I'm going to subtract $6 from 15, losing the three-way craps, or I'm going to win much bigger money and subtract 15 monies. So when I'm on the don't pass, I hop the reds for $6, beat you, and 2-3 will win, and 12 is a push, which means nothing really happens. But I do the same thing. I hop the red for $6. So if a crap number hits, I win $1 on a 12. That's $26. $26 if a 7 hits on a $6 hop the reds. What's $15 plus 11, right? It's 26. Okay, so I'm going to win $11. But I increased the three-way craps bet by $6. If a craps number hits and I win on a 2-3, and I also placed a 12 for a dollar, so I'm going to win on that. And also, if my line bet, I pushed that by $3. So the most I ever won on a successful series of come-out rolls, whether it was from the pass line or the don't pass line, I'm talking about a consecutive successful series of come-out rolls where either the 7-11 won or three-way craps won has been over $1,000. Woo! That's happened. I try to be honest as possible. I went through my notes 6 times in my long career at the craps table. I've won $1,000 on come-out rolls. Now, you know, mathematically, you can say this is unsound. But honestly, and please take this sincerely, I love the math of the game, but the math doesn't matter in a short play of 90 minutes or less. You know, for example, a 7 should roll every between 7 and 8 rolls, mathematically. But if the math is true, and it isn't in 90 minutes, so many times it rolls after 2 rolls, after 3 rolls, or after 15 rolls, you know? So the math doesn't mean a whole lot in a 90-minute game. Over 30 days, over 60 days, yeah, sure it does. That's why the casino wins, because it always comes, you know, the math works over the long haul. Now, if you place bets, I place bets from the don'ts and I place bets from the pass line. The advantage of place bets is you can take them down after a few hits. So you can protect yourself against the 7. And how can you do that? By going off. Just tell the dealer, take my bets off. They're still on the table, but they're not paying. They put a button on it that says off. Or regress the bets. So if you had $18 on the 6, take it down to $12. You know, lock up a profit after 2 or 3 hits on your place bets. When going from the don'ts, I either hop the reds as a hedge on the come out or lay a 4 as a hedge, you know, because that, if I put $40 a lay on a 4 and a 7 comes up, I win 20. So both protect against 7s. And finally, from the don'ts, it's so secure to have $25 in play. I love this situation. I have $25 in play from the don't pass line, and I place the 6 and 8 for $12 each. So I'm either going to roll a 7 and win a dollar, or the 6 and 8 is going to hit, and I'm going to win 14. And, you know, generally I'm coming down after 1 hit, sometimes 2 if I'm way ahead. So there are 6 ways to roll a 7. 6 and 8 are the next 2 numbers you want to be concerned about. And there's 5 ways to roll a 6 and 8. And that's why the 6, 7, and 8 are what's involved when you're talking about the game of craps. But let's talk about Vegas pizza. How much are you willing to pay for a slice anywhere? Vegas pizza coming up. So there was a story about four places where they sell pizza in Vegas, made the top 100 in the United States. And all that did was create havoc, because if someone didn't see their favorite pizza there, you know, it's not legit. So for tourists, there's still a ton of pizza places, because we can't really go off strip. That won't make a whole lot of sense, I think. And I think the one that everybody talks about is Secret Pizza. And it's a secret, all right, because it's hard to find. And it's a place that doesn't have a beautiful dining room, tables, chairs. I think it has two tables and you stand. But it's basically takeout pizza. And it's in the Cosmopolitan. And without too much research, you'll definitely be able to find it. But it's kind of out of the way because it really isn't. There isn't a big sign telling you to get down this little hallway. Then you'll find Secret Pizza. Now, we have listeners that say it's the greatest pizza they ever had. And we have listeners that say, oh, you know, it's all, again, it's a matter of personal taste. But what I wanted to talk about is, would you spend 20-some dollars, could be more than 20 if you put toppings on it, for two pieces of pizza? For you and your friend, for you and your spouse, for you and your pals. Two pieces of pizza, $22, $23. Would you do it? Because that's what's happening. What the hell? I mean, you wouldn't expect to pay $20, $23, $25 for a whole pizza. But in Las Vegas, you could pay over $20 for two pieces of pizza. Now, my suggestion to you is eat the pizza you enjoy and love, which is personal taste, and you're right if you like it, at home. And don't worry about eating pizza in Vegas because it's just too damn expensive for what you get. If you want to call in and discuss this, you know, we have a 24/7 voicemail for our podcast. That's 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. Pizza in Vegas, your favorite. Hopefully it's on the Strip or Fremont, because we're not talking about off-strip so much. But of course, my family says that's where the great pizza is, off-strip. But Secret Pizza and people who imitate Secret Pizza, $23, $24 for two slices? I don't know, buddy. What do you think? Give me your opinion. Okay, we'll be right back for where to buy the best Southern fried chicken in Las Vegas. And of course, I'm going to say Janie and kids are going to cheer because they always do. Yay! Kids love puppies and Janie. And that's why we use that. Okay, Janie, I know you're not a big-time pizza fan, but, well, who turns down really good Southern fried chicken? So you're going to give us some of your favorite places that people might want to consider if they just don't want pizza and maybe they want to try pizza. No, they don't want to try pizza because of the expense. Maybe they want to spend the same amount of money almost and get a full meal of Southern fried chicken.
Well, I don't know too many people who don't like fried chicken. And there's probably, oh, who knows how many places have it in Las Vegas. All the buffets, what's left of them, what are there, 11 or 13 or something?
There's, yeah, about that time. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have as many buffets now, but most of them do usually have fried chicken as part of it. But there are other places that have gotten recognition because they're considered probably some of the best in Las Vegas.
All right. Let's hear
it. Well, I would like to give ones that I think are important because they are part of a hotel casino.
Or close to it?
Well, these two are right there.
Oh, okay.
The first two. One is Hattie B's Hot Chicken, and that's B as in boy. Hattie B's Hot Chicken. And it's a legendary Nashville destination for Hattie B's. But they are now at the Block 16 Urban Food Hall at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's new. That's new.
Well, the fried chicken is dipped in hot melted spices. I think that sounds enticing to me.
Yeah.
And offered in six increasing hot heat levels. Now, I'm not one to like it really, really hot, but I do like a little bit. I know you put hot sauce on
but that's if I have cold beer nearby.
Well, you could have it there too. But that's in the Cosmopolitan. Another one in the Cosmopolitan is the Blue Ribbon. And it says, their famous fried chicken comes with mashed potatoes, gravy, and collard greens. And they have a picture, and it looks like there's three little pieces, like a drumstick, a thigh, and a wing, over a nice bed of collard greens, which are very popular now, along with kale and all those good dark green veggies. So this just looks like comfort food, I think. When you have mashed potatoes along something, well, with something, it just is, for me anyway, it seems like a comfort food, very soothing. And if you, I put it up against a piece of pizza, I'm always going to go for the fried chicken. Okay, our third one is called the Crack Shack.
What's that mean, crack?
Well, I think they're talking about, I've seen articles describing the skin of fried chicken as crackling crisp, cracklingly crisp.
So
I think, I don't know that
it's
that's...
It's about what, the crackle of the
of
chicken.
Of the chicken, of the chicken skin. Yeah, right. I think so.
I know something.
Okay. Well, it is in front of the Park MGM.
Well, that would be right in front of that park there.
Right, the park is right there,
I know there's
too.
Places to sit and eat
right,
out there.
Right, there
there's
are.
Tables out
well,
there.
Well, it says while sandwich versions are spanning breakfast to dinner on the menu, half and whole chickens also appear and can be tossed with taro, honey butter, or barbecue sauce.
All right.
And all of these places have, like, takeout service, so...
Yeah, but that park area there, I don't know, is it called
right.
the park?
It's out in front of...
But they have tables and chairs.
Right. It's very nice there, party atmosphere. They have pictures. It looks pretty nice. Okay, the last one I've chosen to talk about is Shaq O'Neal's Chicken Restaurant, which opened in Vegas in 2018. I understand it's very good, and there's a cook to order, which I find interesting. It's called, the restaurant is called Big Chicken. And I don't know how you cook to order this, but I'd like to go there and find out. You can choose between a fried chicken sandwich served on a brioche bun, sliders, or chicken strips, accompanied by locally made root beer and macaroni and cheese, topped with a crispy Cheez-It crust. Well, you know, I love macaroni and cheese, and that's such a great accompaniment to the fried chicken. And most of the menus I've gone over do have mac and cheese available, as well as mashed potatoes. Now, that would be my hard part, not between chicken and pizza, but
that's
between
like the,
mashed potatoes and mac and cheese.
That's like the pepperoni on a pizza, the macaroni and cheese and
chicken. Well,
yeah,
that's where I would have the
issue. So Shaq's place has been there since 2018.
Right, and it's on Paradise Road.
Well, that's not too far from the strip.
No, we know that's a side off of, you can get there from a lot of the main strips.
Okay, for history, for the historical record of this podcast, you're saying that if you had a choice between any pizza in Las Vegas and your choice of a Southern Fried Chicken place, you would go with...
The Southern Fried Chicken. Yeah. Okay. I am not a big pizza aficionado. In fact, I don't know what happened, if it's because when our kids were growing up, at all their activities, you know, the senior nights at soccer, at basketball, yeah. For the plays, there was pizza probably. And I just, over the years, and the kids liked pizza. We'd have it at their birthday parties or before trick-or-treating when we'd have people
you're
in.
You're pizzaed out.
I think that may have happened. Yeah, there's just a couple that I like. And usually I like a homemade pizza.
Well, I love our stay at the South Point, but the pizza I had at the deli there.
Oh, well, that was.
I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to be too offensive.
No.
But pizza's about personal choice, right?
It is. It is.
Personal
it is.
Taste.
Right, it is. Yes. And it depends on the dough, at what temperature it's cooked, the sauce. You know, do you like a red sauce or a white sauce? Do you use fresh tomatoes, tomato sauce? I mean, there's so many variations of pizza. I did see a recent recipe for pizza with dill pickles, and I have to tell you, it looked good to me.
Okay.
So we're going to be trying
that. Okay, we'll try that one. But
yeah,
listen,
when's National Pizza Day?
I don't know, but Southern Fried Chicken Day was the July 6th. But hey, I think I look in the mirror, and I can see a case of casino fever coming on, and fortunately... We got The Cure coming up. Can you tell the listening audience where we'll be in July, later in July?
Oh, we are going to go to Rocky Gap.
We're going back.
A very favorite place of ours. So we will be there, and we'll both get, we all not only like the casino there, we like the lakeside restaurant. We love the crab cakes, which they're noted and famous for.
This is something we agree on.
We
right?
love the we love the lake. Yeah, we like it all. There's very little we don't like.
Well, to all our listeners out there, you resolve your cases of casino fever the way you can, and certainly, hopefully, if you see somebody at a craps table with a gray hat that says Casinos USA Podcast, that's Coach Fab.
Well, and I'd also like to say, any of you out there, and I know a lot of you are regulars to Las Vegas area, and especially the Strip. So if you know or have a favorite fried chicken, please call in.
Yeah, that's 1-724-519-4556. And maybe we can start a chicken wars like the pizza wars.
or at least, let people know.
Yeah, just share.
Just to share that, because it's always fun to do that. I don't know how other people feel, but I know when I'm on vacation or I go away, or especially Las Vegas, I don't like to order what I can make at home. So that I usually go for seafoods or whatever. But
I did have fried chicken at Ellis Island, and maybe not be the best I ever had, but it was good.
Right. Everything there is good. It may not be the best you've ever had, but...
Inexpensive.
Right. It's inexpensive, and... It's always good, and there's always a lot of it.
Okay. Well, it's that time in the show when we say goodbye. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday.